Welcome to Nightlight. Step away from the mainstream and gather around as we enlighten the world around us and travel this cosmic journey we call life. Join us as we share with you and provide that beacon that can guide us all to a better way. Nightlight, a reminder that you are never alone. And now your host, internationally renowned spiritual intuit, medium, channel, author, artist, lecturer, ordained minister, and good all-around girl, Ms. Barbara DeLong.
Thank you so much. Hello and welcome everybody to Nightlight. That was the magical voice of Ken Quiet Hawk inviting you to come in out of the mainstream and join us for a time to be sheltered from the storms of evolution and change, that which we laughingly call creation. Come and join in with other light-minded spirits as we weave our lights together to seek understanding, enlightenment, and wisdom. These are times of change, times that call to the seekers, and you answer that call from all walks of life, from countless aspects of the spiritual realms. This is a time of awakening, of sharing and evolving, of spreading your wings and soaring on the cosmic breath of creation. We all come from different backgrounds and modalities from all walks of life, and yet there is a synchronicity, a commonality that draws and blends us together, weaving us once more into a collective purpose, a common direction, and a united family once again. We go by different titles, labels, names, if you will. We call ourselves watchers, wardens, indigos, soothsayers, mystics, questers, querents, journeyers, light workers, light bearers, spiritual empaths, and well, that list, it goes on and on and on. It is as unique and eclectic as are we. Yet we all have the same spiritual calling, and we all, in our own very individual ways, bring light into this reality to facilitate the awakening and the shifting of the consciousness for all of mankind. This is my own very private oasis in the turmoil we call evolution, so sit back, take a break, share your lights with us, and join in the love, the light, and the laughter that spiritual energy always generates when lights are blended and spirits lifted. I'm Barb DeLong, your host, and along with Jeannie and Rachel, we welcome you in and hope you'll add your lights to ours to increase the energy and brighten all of our own personal lights. We're going to be doing readings shortly, and if you would like to call in for one, the number is 347-857-2139. Don't wait too long. It fills up fast. Jeannie is, I think, in the chat room somehow. And if you have any questions, she's the one you should IM. I don't multitask. So if you have a question and want it answered, she's the person that you connect to. And if you don't want it answered, then, of course, you can private anybody, absolutely. Ken Quiet Hawk can be found at www.nativestorytellers.com if you want to learn more about that amazing voice. I'm at BarbaraDeLong.com, and our special guest, Rachel, can be found at RavensWhisper.com. Before we get involved with the readings, I want to share with you some very special shows that I highly recommend to those who are seeking spiritual surroundings and insight. With so many shows on BTR, sometimes it's hard to decide where you want to share your time, and these are the shows I love and frequent often because of the quality of material and the spiritual energy that they radiate. It's kind of like taking a spiritual shower when you sit and listen to some of these shows. It's really, really cool. Monday through Thursday on the Wolf and the Bear Network, you'll find the most magical way for starting your day with morning blessings with Bear Medicine Walker. That's on at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Also on the Wolf and the Bear Network on Wednesdays and Fridays, Visionary Times with Bear and the Reverend Ann Rose at 1 p.m., again, Eastern Standard Time. And I often do that show as well, so you may find me hanging around in the chat room or actually on air, depending on what's going on. Again, on Visionary Times, on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. is Ken Quiet Hawk's Hawk's Nest. It's a trip down memory lane and is totally addictive if you love the early radio shows of the past like I do. And tomorrow night. Tomorrow night is really cool and really special. He's going to be broadcasting the War of the Worlds. And if you've never heard the broadcast, it's phenomenal. It caused riots all over the place and was really phenomenal. So if you enjoy the radio shows of yesteryear, there was one of those shows that talked about something of yesteryear. I think I may be tuning into one of them. Anyhow, it's an amazing show, and he has captured so much of what is so loved about early radio shows. It enables you to see in your mind's eye things that are happening, and it stretches your imagination, and it totally involves you. It's better than television. So it's a favorite of mine. And his partner, Deborah New Moon Rising, has her own show. It's called On My Mind with Mama Moon. That's on at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Tuesdays as well, also on Visionary Times Network. And then there is always my favorite show, one of my favorite shows, because they're all favorites. Curious Times is on Blog Talk Radio. That's the name of the show. Chris is the host. And that's on every night from 10 to 12. It's a place to unwind, gather with other like-minded folk, and let your hair down. It's casual creation and chaos all in one, and it's a cool show to visit. She has fascinating guests. She has open mic night. She has absolutely interesting people that will blow your mind, and she constantly has new people on, so it's never a boring show. I guarantee you'll never be bored there, and there are always surprises at that hour of the night. So now you have my list of favorites. Not that anybody asked, but since you're a captive audience, you got it anyhow. So my special guest. Oh wait, before I do that, I don't know if Jeannie is even listening. I know she's in the chat room because she bumped me out. And Jeannie, if you're listening, you have signed yourself in as me and bumped me out, so I can't type in the chat room. So if you want to maybe correct that, that would be nice because I might want to say something in there sometime. But if you can't hear me, and if you're, I don't see Jeannie in the queue yet, so I'm going to bring Rachel on. Jeannie is probably having trouble signing in. She has a satellite dish that just doesn't like BTR, I guess. And so she's down in Virginia where they have all those storms, so they've been going through some massive stuff. So she may or may not be screening calls, but if she's not, then I can do it the old way. I do remember how to do that. Rachel is a phenomenal psychic. She's a medium. She does spirit circles. Her forte is animal communication, but she also deals with people as well. She's talented and she's gifted, and she has a sweet nature that is just absolutely disarming. And she has an insightfulness that helps her to kind of dig beneath the surface of issues, whether they be animal or human. She is a kind, giving, amazing lady, and I'm going to have to guess and see. Rachel, can you type in the chat room the last two digits of your phone number so I know which number to pick up, because there are a couple of 203 numbers here, if you're listening, maybe. Now I have to wait for a 10-second delay or whatever it is to see if she's going to figure out what I was asking. I kind of think I know which is her phone number. Yes, okay. Thank you. Hello, Rachel. How are you today?
Hi, Barbara. I'm fine. How are you?
Well, Jeannie is sort of here, kind of, but she signed in as me, and she bumped me out, and now I can't type into the chat room. And I don't see her yet in the in the queue, so we'll just have to go the old-fashioned way and call out numbers, which is not the end of the world. So, how have you been? I know you've been doing spirit circles, and that's kind of something new to you. How are you enjoying that?
Oh, I'm loving it. What is, I guess, the alarming part, which actually it's not really that alarming, but I'll come home from work and be preparing, you know, to do a spirit circle the next day and be out with the dog and find that we have 7 or 8 spirits with us because they're coming in early to make sure their spots are reserved.
Oh,
which is rather at first it was like, wow, you know, I'm kind of off duty right now, but I guess not.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was kind of an interesting thing and something that doesn't usually happen to me when I do that, you know, when I'm preparing to do a class.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the spirit circles are very a different kind of energetic. It's not like doing a reading on somebody. It's a whole, I call it another channel, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is amazingly, I got a message from Jeannie. She says she's locked out. Jeannie, when you sign in, make sure you put the capitals in my name, and that should let you in. She seems to be, you know, she's been off duty for so long, she's probably forgotten all of the stuff that she was doing naturally before. Nothing's been changed, but it's Barbara with a B and then D, capital D, small e, capital L-O-N-G. It's hysterical. She signed into the chat room as me, and I was signed in, so now I'm just sort of bumped and sitting here looking blindly at it, and I can't type or anything. You know, when you're told you can't do something, you want to do it. and you know, when you can do it and don't care, then it's fine, you know, no problem. But so anyhow, as far as the spirit circles, you know, when you're sitting and you're doing psychic readings, that's one channel, that's one portal, that's one dimension you're reaching to. Spirit circles are a different dimension, and I would imagine, at least as far as I'm concerned in my experience, which is not as great as yours as far as animals go, the animals are yet a different channel as well. So
yes.
it's sort of like you have to flick between the different channels to get to where you want to get. It's like a radio station, and you tune in either the people channel or the spirit channel or the animal channel. And I would imagine if you were working with other dimensions, you would then go into another dimension channel type stuff.
Right.
So.
Yes.
And, you know.
Usually, for me, however, the other dimensions and the animals, that whole channel, that waits for me usually.
Mm-hmm.
That waits for me to do the asking. And the people I'm finding, on the other hand, don't usually wait for that.
No, they just kind of line up at the door.
Yes.
And you know, I haven't had quite that issue, but I'm finding when I do. When I do past lives, that is yet again a different channel.
Mm.
So it's all good. It's all good. but it does make one wonder. I mean, if being a psychic, a medium, or whatever, I'm wondering if, you know, I've never really paid that much attention to it. I just sort of click in. I don't really take the time to say, well, I must switch channels, yada, yada, yada. So it's kind of like, okay, here we go. And then it just is naturally there. So I see Jeannie is at least, I do believe she is in the, yes, Jeannie's in the queue. And at some place here, I'll try to get myself back into the chat room. But I tell people not to IM me, and now I definitely am telling people not to IM me because I am blind in my own chat room. Is that not sad? I know you do the PhD fairs here in Connecticut. Where else can people find you if they're looking for you, aside from your website, which is ravenswhisper.com?
Oh. Well, you can find me at a lot of the New Age stores that are in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
Mystical Horizons is being one of them that I frequent often. Talisman in Monroe is another one that I go to often. Mm-hmm. And it kind of just depends, you know. I can be found at some miscellaneous pet fairs here and there, and it's usually best to contact me and find out where I'm going to be. Because I don't know if you have this problem, Barbara, but, you know, people will say, I don't, you know, they'll text me and say, where are you next weekend? I haven't the foggiest. You know, I have to look at my planner.
And I never dreamed in my wildest imagination that I would be basically I don't know what you want to call it, by a calendar, but I find myself so often saying, geez, I'm really sorry I don't have my calendar with me. I'm going to have to check the calendar to let you know if I'm available or where I'm going to be or whatever it is. It is really, it's scary because I'm retired. You know, this is supposed to be my relaxed time, you know.
You know, well, from what I know about you, this is less than relaxed.
Well, yeah, I have to say that since I've stopped working in a traditional job, I've never been busier, which is kind of exciting. So, you know, you often think, you know, oh, God, people retire and they just sit around and they, you know, cobwebs grow. Not the case here. So, okay, we've got Jeannie is finally at work. So we've got Samantha in Florida. Hi, Samantha. How are you doing today?
Hello. I'm fine.
Hi, Samantha.
So how can we help? Are you busy or do you want to read it?
No. I'm sorry. I wanted to find out about work.
Okay. What about it?
Well, I have been looking for about 8 or 9 months now, and I've had countless interviews and callbacks, but nothing has been, you know, cemented. And I've come really close to on a couple of jobs, and it's just kind of frustrating. I mean, I know there are so many other things that could be wrong, and I'm lucky that things aren't horrible, but I'd really like to start working so I can save up to go back to school and get a car. So I was just wondering if there's anything hopefully coming down the pike soon.
From what I see here, May seems to be the time when compensation starts to come into you, so it does feel as though there is a job here in the May time frame, but it's only like something temporary, and it feels like you're going to be hopping through temporary jobs for probably the next year to two. It does feel as though your calling is not necessarily the direction that you are, you know, what you are working on or in, so that going back to school is really, really, really crucial for you. But you know, I would trust your intuition because you seem to have a very keen sense of and understanding of where spirit wants you to be, even though it isn't necessarily where you think you should be. Rachel, what are you getting?
I think that's pretty accurate, Barbara. I feel, Samantha, like you're kind of being purposely almost held back from the job because you have some more changes to go through. So I do think, like I said, I do think there's money coming in for you, and so there is work. I think something rather significant happens around August for you about finding a new direction, okay? Because then I see you changing complete direction as far as what you want. And ultimately, I think what the universe has in store for you, Samantha, is a job that you really like, you know, or a career path that you really, really like, as opposed to just looking for something that, you know, makes the bills. So I think there is some, you know, stepping stone jobs in the way, you know, that are coming in, some stabilizing positions, if you will, that will be here. I do think that you have something new coming in May as well. But I think August, for some reason, there's something that a catalyst that happens in August that really makes you very aware of where you really want to go. So I see you, like, trying, like, this new career path. And then you also have new energy come in around work. I want to say as of next February. So I don't know if you get involved in some sort of training program or something for this new line of work, but it feels like by next February, you have like the job with the money, you know, that you want, you know, and a job that you enjoy. So it feels like that kind of seemingly at the time falls in your lap. So, you know, not saying that you won't have, you know, work up until that point, because I do think you will be, you know, you will have work and you'll have certain opportunities that will come and go, you know, in that time period. But it feels like the universe is kind of lining all this up for something bigger for you. Okay?
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I've been hoping for something because it really has seemed like I've been getting held back for whatever unknown reason. I'm just like, okay, am I doing something wrong here?
No, I don't really think you are. It just looks like, you know, unfortunately, sometimes the universe seemingly holds us in a place to strengthen our will, strengthen our resolve, you know, to figure out what we really want. And I think some of these kind of temporary jobs come in for you to kind of figure out what you really want and what you don't want. And it changes your perception about what you'll accept for work. And I do think it kind of catalyzes you into a new, you know, into a much better place. Okay?
Well, thank you. I hope so. I mean, I've been wanting to pursue a law career for the longest time, and I've just been thinking, like, okay, I need to get back in school in order to go and further that. I've always wanted to do law, and I'm just like, maybe it's not what I'm meant to do, but, I mean, that's the only thing I've ever really wanted to do.
Right.
So maybe I don't know. It's just been a lot of me trying to adjust myself to see maybe I'm not doing things right, or maybe I'm just not, I guess, do certain things. It's just been confusing to me.
Right. I really don't see that it's you that's doing anything wrong. And I'm not sure. I'm not really getting it very clear whether law is the direction that you go in. I just, what was inspiring to me about when I look at your energy, Samantha, is that it has to be something that just impassions you. Okay? It's something that it's going to really connect, you're going to connect with your heart with. So, you know, that could still be law, you know, because I did notice the energetic change when you mentioned law, so I do think, you know, that does something for you. But I'm not sure if that's, you know, like I said, something changes for you or shifts for you in August of this year. So be on the lookout for that. And it may be something that just pushes you to go back to school for law. But I'm for whatever reason, I'm not getting that. I think the important takeaway is that something big is on the horizon for you, and it's going to be really good.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I've been hoping for that because it's just so frustrating right now.
Right. I understand.
And I have to chime in here. I would not, you know, give up on law. I just don't think it's the right time yet. I think that, you know, the timing is not right yet. But I do feel that law is an area that you should pursue. You should definitely continue to work towards. And I agree with Rachel that August does have, from what I see here, there's a healing that takes place in August, which seems to break the logjam, so to speak, and things seem to ease up for you, and there's a greater flow of energy after the August time frame. So hang in there, because I do feel strongly that stuff is going to start to sort of bend, flow into your direction and be more comfortable, and you'll be more comfortable with it. Okay?
Okay, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Okay, have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Okie doke. We've got Kim. Hi, Kim. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Doing well. How can we help?
Hey, I just had a question. In regard to a certain situation that I'm dealing with in my life, Barbara, I don't know if you remember talking with me a couple months back, but I'm dealing with the Child Protective Services and my niece.
Okay.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Sorry. Okay. And I've been lately kind of noticing a connection in regard to possible workers and the situation, and I just kind of wanted to know if I was focusing on the right thing or going down the right path in regard to that.
What I'm picking up on here is that first of all, everything really is in place for you. It feels as though that you have things in place appropriately, and it does feel as though there is also an inner restlessness going on here, as though you want to make things move faster, that you're almost getting paranoid about things. And Spirit is basically saying, step back, take it easy, don't push so hard, let things fall into place of their own accord. This is definitely a time in which new beginnings, new are you outside?
Yeah, I'm trying to, hold on a second, let me come in here real quick. The wind just like gets up. You gotta love Oklahoma.
Okay.
Okay.
It's almost as though you really need to let the universe do its job and stop trying to make things right, fit things, just allow things to kind of flow. If you let them flow, it does feel as though things will go along a lot faster. You're so worried about making everything right, you're kind of getting in the way of the flow of what's supposed to be going on. So,
okay.
Rachel, what are you getting?
Kim, I the image I get when you're talking is I get a Mustang that's tethered, a wild Mustang that's tethered, trying to fighting itself against its own self. Okay, and I think it just speaks for timing as well. It feels like you're going towards much calmer waters, but you have to try to make sure that you don't let yourself get in your own way up until that point.
Okay.
Because I also get that restlessness that we're going to fight so strong to move this forward. Now, I do feel like things are moving forward, but I feel like you're at that, you know, the roller coaster has hit that top of that first big hill. You just have to wait till it releases. Because I do feel like as we get into May, June, and July, you've got faster energy coming in for you. And you'll have that sense of movement that you've been trying so hard for. Okay.
Well, and that's the weird part is, like, in regard to these certain people that are involved in the case, I honestly just stumbled across that probably over the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because I stumbled across that, that might be where that's coming in, is because now I'm, like, trying to search deeper, you know, into the connections and stuff. So I don't know if I'm just supposed to. It sounds like I might be just not having to look, that it'll just stumble across again or something.
Well, I think it seems like your search efforts are productive. Like it brings, you know, in some answers, and it has kind of a snowball effect.
Right.
You know? Does that make sense?
It kind of feels like that, yes. It does kind of feel like that. Kind of like a web, I guess, if you say, you know. They start to, the dots are starting to kind of connect, but
to come
it's
together.
Not. It's not really streamlined, I guess, right now to have concrete proof. So,
I feel like that happens closer to the end of summer for you, where it all, you know, kind of falls into place. I just get the sense that, like, you know, like you've thrown a bunch of plates up in the air and you're just waiting for them to fall and what order
uh-huh.
they're going to fall into, you know, kind of thing.
It's almost exactly right?
Yeah. So, and I feel like when they fall, they'll fall in perfectly with where they're supposed to be for the most part. I mean, there will be some, you know, there's always a couple in the pile that just, you know, need a little rearranging. But I think you'll have the awareness and the knowledge at that point to figure out which way to go. You also feel just very guided on this. I just feel a lot like there's a lot of protection around you at least a one or two people that have passed on. I'm not sure who this is, that just feel like they're guiding you and helping you uncover what needs to be uncovered.
Yeah, I'm thinking I've been feeling a lot of my sister's energy lately, so I'm thinking that was probably who was helping, because she was kind of an investigator herself. So.
Okay.
I was going to ask Rachel if you might have any messages or anything from a couple of my cats that might have passed.
Okay. Give me a name or two.
Kramer and okay. Bubba.
Okay, let's see. Oh, two very distinct energies here. Kramer comes through as very loving, like the one that would take care of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and be with you. Did he have very distinct paws? He keeps showing me
yep.
tiny paws with lots of toes or something about his paws that was very unique.
Yeah.
Bubba sounds like, you know, he's the bodyguard, you know, like the big, you know, kind of sluggish one that's kind of all muscle. He said he has a very unique appearance as well, too, but he seems like mm-hmm. a large cat or has a very, very large presence. This is not a cat
right.
who you could miss. Okay.
Right.
Let's see. I get so much love, you know, being sent to you, especially from Kramer. I think the
mm-hmm.
two of you just really had a very, very special connection there. You know, I keep hearing, he keeps saying, she saved me, she saved me. So I don't know if you rescued him or took him out of a bad situation.
I did.
But it seems like there was a really, you know, like there was something poignant about the story, you know, of how he came into your life or how you came into his. Okay. Yes. Bubba says it was an accident. Okay. I don't know what that means. I'm assuming that's probably occurring. He's probably saying that in regards to his passing or something that happened right before he passed. But I get it's an accident, like it wasn't meant to happen that way, or it wasn't
mm-hmm.
what it looked like. Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, you're more than
okay.
welcome.
Thanks, Kim. Bye-bye.
You have a good day. Bye.
Okay. Jeannie and I have now switched personas. She is me and I am her as co-host. You know, and she's lucky it's my show. I can do whatever I want to. Okie doke.
Well, it wouldn't be a Barbara DeLong show without a little magic and mystery.
Well, or screw up, whichever way you want to look at it. This is true. The happy thing about Blog Talk Radio is we're all amateurs here, so it's okay. Okay, we have another Kathy from Connecticut. Hi, how are you doing, Kathy?
Hi, Barbara. I'm Rachel. Hi, nice to talk to you guys today.
Hi.
I had a question about the red blood moon lunar eclipse that happened last
uh-huh.
night. I was wondering how that is affecting us now. Is it going to be a crazy year, or do our goals get accomplished quicker? Anything down the road that you see? I do follow my guides, so is there anything that you... They're a little slow for me, but...
Well, I would say from what I'm gathering here that... First of all, April is a crazy month for you. Totally crazy.
Oh, like...
totally wacko crazy.
Totally crazy, yeah. Oh.
And it does feel as though for you, not necessarily because of the eclipse, but for you, this is a year in which, you know, it's very important that you not try to seek the balance that you think you should have, because it's more important for you to be a little off balance, and truly you are off balance. And that's a good
cool.
thing. I think you like having things a little bit strange.
Crazy, yeah, I do.
I mean, strange is good. Strange is unique. Strange strange is good. As far as the lunar eclipse goes, I think that the energy that is around all of us is more intense than it has been in a very long time. The energy that I'm feeling intensifies things, and it feels to me as though the energy that surrounds us constantly has a higher vibrancy than yesterday or the day before. So that,
okay.
and that's going. I think there from what I'm feeling, Now, you know, if you want to know astrologically, you have to talk to an astrologer, of which I am not. But it does feel to me as though the frequency of the energy, the spiritual energy that is available to us, has increased and intensified. So those who are truly on a spiritual pathway and are really tuned into the light and the energy around them are going to find so much more information, advice, and insight available to them than they had before. Everybody else is just going to get a buzz of an unusual nature and wonder what the heck it is and what it was they ate that gave them the buzz, because it's a good buzz.
Oh, good.
Rachel, what are you getting?
Okay. Kathy, for you, I do think the lunar eclipse is a game changer for you.
Okay,
I just have sword energy all over this, Ace of Swords, which is new beginnings, new perceptions. So this is where things start to shift. You know, they do feel a little off balance, so I think you just run that way. I think you are really good with making things work and taking on more than you can handle and somehow hoping it will all fall together at the end, and I think for the most part it really does. I think you're a bit of an adrenaline junkie as well, too, so you like the chase of having, you know, 20 things in your day when most people can only handle five.
Okay.
So for you, I really feel like this is just watch your emotions right now and watch the emotions of people around you, because it feels like what really could be changing here are thoughts and perceptions. So, you know, typical conversations that maybe you would have with your best friend might at this point, I want to say for about a two-week period, just become heated for no particular reason. Or, you know, with your husband or, you know, significant other or something along those lines. So it just looks like I get the image of, like, smoke and mirrors. So, and why is this happening? I really think it's because it's kind of like shaking out what's not working in all of our lives.
Okay.
Yeah, so things will kind of be shaken loose and come to the surface and come to a head, you know, things that haven't been looked at or dealt with in the past couple years. And I don't really get a discharge on it, like it's going to be a horrible couple weeks or you know, month or so for you, but I do feel like things are shifting, and it's just as long as you go into it, you know, kind of balanced and with your eyes wide open, you know, and call people out and don't be afraid to call yourself out on your emotions when maybe you're having an unconventional or a very heated reaction to someone else, to something that someone else is saying. You know, look at, you know, just pause for a minute and look to see where that's coming from, because usually that's some old dirt coming up.
Okay.
Like I said, I don't see it as being a particularly difficult time. It doesn't have to be. And the more I actually see, like, Wonder Woman with the bracelets, like, you know. as long as you do this with your eyes wide open, with awareness and centered in your heart and balanced, you could be you're just fending off those bullets just rather easily. And they don't have to turn into lasting consequences with your friendships. Because I actually think that you've had, in the last couple of years, it feels like you've had a lot of kind of turnover in your personal relationships, your friendships, your close-knit friends, family, things like that, where there's been some breaks in relationships or, you know, loss of friendships, things like that, you know, people moving out of your life rather quickly. So I don't feel like this. So just be careful that you don't immediately go into, oh, my God, I'm about to lose them, because I don't feel like you are. I just feel like there's just some things that you need to be aware of that are going on that maybe not exactly what it looks like on the surface.
But this is all positive, though.
I feel like, I feel like there's just pieces like that are being shaken loose to the surface so that you can look at them, deal with them, put them away, clean them up.
Right.
You know, because I see just a few pieces here or there. It's just, it all deals, it doesn't have to be major, but it deals with how you react to them. If you have a major, if you majorly overreact because you're not looking at these things, you know, then it can get bigger. It can blow up, and it doesn't have to be. It really literally
can just...
Is it
about learning? I'm learning to be patient with things that are said to me and find out why they're being said, and there's a reason, that type of thing.
Yes, and I think that's a really important thing to look at. You know, just, you know, it's not a bad thing to, like, when someone says something that may be upsetting to you, or maybe, yep. you know, maybe they're telling you something about yourself that you don't want to hear, or that you're kind of flabbergasted that they would say because you don't have that perception yeah. yourself. Just
right,
pause
right.
for a minute, take a couple deep breaths, and see how it lands with you. And
right,
what
right.
really is the truth of the situation? This could just be like old hurts, because I do feel like a lot of people will be kind of coming to you with maybe old hurts that maybe aren't always yours, but that mm-hmm. they something that they actually want to say to you. And I actually
yeah.
feel like that a lot of your friendships will and your relationships will get closer because of this period.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And I had one other thing is I always feel bad if I have to leave my cats for a period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm doing that in May, and I is there anything I can say to them or do to make them feel more comfortable that I have to be away from them, or do they not accept time as anything? I'm confused about how they look at the time I'm away from them.
Okay, two things here. Do you have a? Can you give me the name of the one that's in charge?
Alfie.
Alfie.
Alfie okay. is the land dweller cat, always by my feet, always poking me, and Maxie is the adventurous one.
Okay.
Who runs around the house.
Okay. Yeah, Alfie's certainly the one that's in charge there, that deals with scheduling
yeah.
and when you're going to eat and when you're not going to eat and when you're going to be home and all of that. Maxie,
yeah.
you know, could care less as long as when he gets the food dish, you know.
He gets food, yeah. Yeah.
It works. Like, somehow, it can take an act of God, but as long as it happens on a regular basis, he's fine with it. One thing that I find that's kind of important, and I don't know, Barbara might have some different suggestions on this one,
yeah.
but I often will picture, you know, kind of how many nights and days I'll be gone.
Yeah.
You know, like, so I will actually, you know, right before I'm leaving, you know, or, you know, I'll keep telling him the words, because first of all, when we talk, mm-hmm. we think in pictures as we're talking, and they will pick up that. So you can just keep telling them, you know, that, you know, in May you're going to spend some time away and that you love them and you're going to be home, you know,
yeah.
eventually. If it's only, you know, a couple days or so, I would actually mm-hmm. picture like 3 nights that you're the house is alone, and then mm-hmm. you show up like the next morning or something like that. If it's an extended period, sometimes I would just give, like, just show them an image that you're coming home and you're going to love them, you
yeah.
know, and it's going to have that you are coming back. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I just feel
while
so
you're
bad.
Away, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to say, you know, and well, cats are funny. Cats are funny creatures. You know, you'll get the attitude probably. You know.
Yeah.
You'll get. You know,
well,
they'll make you.
I'm gonna have somebody come in and take care of them, but still, I just feel.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. They're still gonna give you the attitude. I think
yeah.
Alfie can pull some really pretty good attitude when he wants
to. He's quirky. Yeah, he's very quirky.
Yeah. So, you know, just so you know, you're going to have to work for it, and, you know, will they be okay? They all,
yeah.
First of all, they always know you're coming back. They do
okay.
trust that they have their forever homes, and they're not insecure about that.
Yeah.
And is it the same person that comes to stay with them all the time?
Well, no. It's well, my daughter's going to come in, but
okay.
she has 2 kids, so she's busy. But I'm going to have new people coming in, and I'm going to have them over for dinner first before I go.
Okay.
So that he gets
okay.
acquainted. Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Well, yeah.
When I offer, I mean,
let me interject a little here.
Okay.
Being a slight expert on cats
yeah.
behavior, since I've got 8 of them.
Oh, boy.
Cats especially are very independent, not so much dogs, but cats really, so long as Rachel said, so long as the food's there, they're pretty happy with their own. They have their own routine, their own world. But she said something that's really important, and that's that they pick up the pictures that we're sending. And because of energy and wavelength and everything, I usually spend maybe 15 or 20 minutes a couple of times a day picturing myself petting them and talking to them and, you know, telling them how wonderful they are. They pick up those signals.
Oh,
So just the, just because you're not physically there doesn't mean you can't be there in spirit with them, and they do pick up that, and they do. Because I asked the person that takes care of my cats, and she said, and I said, you know, about, and I think it was about 8 o'clock at night when I usually, you know, tuned into them. She said, it's really funny. About 8 o'clock at night, they all get very, very quiet, and they all just sort of hang out. And it's sort of, so I know they're picking up the signals that I'm sending, and so long as they, you know, they know that that you care for them, and that you know, you... No matter where you are, you're thinking of them, and you know, then they go to sleep and wake up, and the food's there, and it's swell, and then you tune into them again, so that you don't need to not have a connection with them.
Okay. All right, sounds good. All right, I can do that.
It works well, and it makes me feel better too. So.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I want to make sure that I do the right thing. And let them know that I'm going to be coming back. It's just a matter of 5 days, but still.
Yeah, I think because there are two of them that you're just fine.
Okay. They'll keep each other comfortable.
Absolutely.
Company, yeah. Okay, great. Well, it was nice talking to both of you, and have a great day, rest of the day.
You too.
Thank you.
But, you know, you're right about the attitude, though, Rachel. You know, every now and then, you really know when they're upset with you.
They're very very direct.
Oh,
when there's something
absolutely.
Flustered them.
Okay, we've got Queen here. Hi, Queen. How are you doing today?
I'm creative. How are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well. How can we help today?
Well, I called about my dog, Ladybug. She was a runaway or lost. She came here with her brother. They were interesting dogs. And to the point where they had a method of running around the house when people approached, and they'd get terrified. They terrified the people. But her brother was a smartass, and he ran across the road, and he got killed one day. So I sat with her and loved her and all of that, and, you know, made her feel comfortable. It took a good while, a couple of months. And she used to like to stay outside. So I used to have two cats who have since gone to the other world. And Ladybug wouldn't want to come in the house much at all. And now you can't get her out of the house, hardly. I think I often thought before that she was had a cat-like personality. I also think she picks up the personalities of other people. I'd just like to know what her trip is.
Rachel Quires.
Okay, let's see. This dog really is a very interesting creature because I get, excuse me, that they just have kind of multiple personalities. They really do. They just feel rather empathic that they can take on other things. And I want to say it's almost I don't think I've ever really seen this in a dog before because they can really pick up different attitudes, different energies. Yeah, and I'm not sure I answered your question. What exactly was your question, Queen?
Who is she? I think she picks up and takes on other personalities too. That was my sense almost from the beginning that she was she's more like a cat than a dog, and she's moody. She's I wondered if it was hormonal. She's been spayed. If that might have something to do with it. In addition, I'm just trying to understand her because at this point in my life, I'm feng shuiing and discarding a lot of things that don't fit in nice and neat.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to give her the benefit of, you know, living with me, and I'm trying to understand her. And
I just feel like there's so much energy there, you know. Like with any dog, I'm going to say balance what you can with them. You know, the walks, the scheduling, things like that, so that she's getting enough exercise and all of that, because that will kind of siphon off some of this extra kind of energy. But I'm not getting, like, too much physical energy. It's almost like she's got too much intellectual or emotional energy. What I think is, I think you do have, like, a very unique creature that is willing to evolve and grow with you. Which can be an amazing thing for your time together, that you, the two of you kind of really, I feel like she's kind of a mirror for a lot of what's going on in your life. You know, she may push some boundaries when you're needing to deal with boundaries or be stronger. There are other times when she just seems to be a lot more timid. I think some of it has to do with her being, kind of a rescue dog. But I'm not sure how all of it is. I think she's very much a chameleon, because even when I talk to her, she's kind of changing around a bit. She's not giving really anything solid here to go on. And it doesn't seem like fear. Some animals will hide from me if I try to look at them, and they just don't want to talk. They don't want to kind of say too much. But I'm not really sure on this. Barbara, do you have something to add here?
I do. Actually, but like I, as you were saying, it seems very unusual. I think, and let me first preface this with, in my opinion, in my experience, I've never seen spirit energy in animals move from one species to another, and yet I do feel that in this dog you have the spirit of a cat that has been with you in several past lifetimes. So, and is this a male or female?
The dog is a female.
Okay. In the last couple of lifetimes, she was male. And so not only does she have a gender problem, but she has a species problem, and it she has traveled through time with you, so that you know she has this link, this familiarity with the kind of level of communication that you've had with her in the past, and yet this lifetime, first of all, that communication isn't yet there. And secondly, she's in a body that's very unfamiliar to her, him, her. So, I if this were a human, I'd say they need therapy. But since this isn't, I would say that I would really try communicating. And I know you talk to her a lot, but you don't send the pictures. And if you could send the pictures, you'd get a response from her, because I think there is a true desire to communicate with you. And, you know, part of it is, you know, she'll probably come through with what the heck is going on, and the other, you know, like where are my claws, and where's my body, and but I do feel a tremendous intelligence in this animal, and she's phenomenal. So I would really work at training her. I would work at... Do you train her? Are you really working with her? I think she wants to work.
No, truthfully, no, because I'm really a cat person, and like I said, they came here. I let them stay and like that. And so truthfully, no. I don't know that... I've had other dogs, but I hadn't been the one that was really that particularly interested in them. I like independent, the independence of the cat. But I feed her, I do talk to her, I recognize these things in her, but my interest in her has not been, I'm going to give her the benefit of, you know, my different energy and send her pictures and all of that, but I really, like I said, I'm not sure if I'm even going to keep her, because she wasn't fitting in. in a way that was comfortable for me. She's scared of thunder when it rains. She trips out. She really acts crazy when it rains and thunders. It's deep, but I'm going to give her the benefit. That's why I asked. If there's something I can do to make it
well,
more harmonious.
And Rachel said something that was really tremendously profound. Dogs and cats are very, very sensitive to the emotionality of the environment that they're in. And if she is sensing that there's a possibility that you're not going to keep her, then that could be part of the changes you're seeing in her, because there's an insecurity, a feeling of abandonment, a feeling of, there's that question of, if I bond with this human, are they going to give me up, and am I going to be in the kennel again or whatever? Because there is such a level of an intellect here, I would really try to communicate. I think that you have an amazing animal there. So,
okay, well, I'll take that under consideration for her to bring it forth and show me. I'm going to give her a chance.
Okay, well, thanks so much for calling.
Oh, thank you all for letting me know that I have a very interesting journey with this one here, and I'll keep you posted.
Oh, please do. Please do. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I'm going to pull Jeannie on the air. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hi,
Jeannie.
Rachel, Jeannie sort of owns a horse. And go ahead, Jeannie. Ask your question.
Yes, I sold my horse to some friends, but she's still my horse. I don't care whether I sold or not. Anyway, they have bred her to a horse called All Time Fancy, which is a very fancy horse. They took her up to the vet and all this weekend, and she was artificially inseminated. And it's going to be a couple weeks before they can do a sonogram and see if Katie's actually pregnant. Do you pick up anything whether or not there'll be a baby here this time?
Okay, hold on. Yes. First of all, has she met All-Time Fancy?
No, she's never met All-Time Fancy. This is an artificial insemination.
Okay. No, I just didn't know if she ever had a connection, because what I get is that she doesn't think he's all that fancy.
well, that would be Katie, period. I mean,
Okay, because I want to say she's quite opinionated.
Katie?
Especially
yes.
About class and her place and she has an eloquence about her,
yeah,
with a little bit of an
Katie,
arrogance about her.
Yeah, she comes. Yeah. She comes from a good bloodline herself. She's a snotty horse.
Yes. First of all, I do think she will be pregnant. I have chills when I think about it, and I actually think that she's aware of what's happening and she wants it.
Oh, cool.
She wants to be pregnant. Yeah, so she's right on board with it. She's hoping and praying for this too.
Oh, that'd be wonderful.
Because she really has the desire to breed, okay?
Yes. And, well, she is. She does. She does like to wave her tail, as the saying goes.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah,
that's exciting.
So, yeah, that'll be good news.
Yeah. Well, if you want to see what this stud horse looks like, he has a Facebook page, and it's called All Time Fancy.
Know.
You can,
okay.
if you're sitting there goofing off, take a look and you'll see why we're all kind of excited about it.
Okay. Well,
what's she going to have, Rachel? What is she going to have?
Oh. I want to say get a girl.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
You can see Carol jumping up and down right now, okay?
Yeah, and I want to say she's going to be beautiful. I just get a stunning head on this animal, just a stunning profile.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I think it was a good breed choice.
Very good breed choice. I get excited just thinking about it, and I don't get all excited about lots of things. I'm too old.
But this
don't
I
give
do.
A rat.
Oh, I don't.
No,
I'm excited about Katie having another baby. I really am.
Well, how long are they pregnant for, Jean?
11 months.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yeah, it takes almost a year.
Wow.
It's a very long process.
I would say so. Well, they're very big horses.
Yeah, they really do. But,
okay,
Rachel,
well,
I thank you so very much.
Oh, no problem, Jeannie.
Okay, we're going to put Jeannie back to work now.
Oh, really? Is that what I'm doing?
Yes.
Okay,
we're going to put you back to work, and we're going to pull up Lisa. Hi, Lisa. How's it going today?
Oh, fine. Thank you for taking my call. I love listening to your laughter.
Well, we get excited about strange things here. So how can we help?
Well, I was just wondering what energy you picked up around me within the next couple of weeks, maybe a month or so, as far as increase on work and contracts. And
It feels to me as though you're coming into a new phase here, and it does feel as though there is a lot of new energy coming in. So there are a lot of new beginnings, and there are a lot of new things that are coming into you. It does feel professionally wise that there is a really good harmony of things here. And it feels like you've done a lot of things under that have gone under the radar. They're not illegal. It's just that nobody has noticed a lot of the work that you've done. And it feels as though those things that you've been working on subtly that have been going on for quite a while, those things that you've put, you know, your ducks in order, so to speak, it feels as though there's a new dawning of a new aspect of work here, so that it feels like work's going to be quite successful. It does look as though there are some new directions that you're going to be going in that you are kind of going outside of the box, so to speak. You are moving into new venues for yourself, and it does feel probably over the next few months that you're going to feel like everything is falling into place for you, which it looks pretty intense, but very exciting and pulling you towards the summer, where I think there is massive change and a reordering of a lot of things in your life, with a lot of letting go of a lot of things that no longer serve you, so to speak, and you're reaching into stretretching yourself into new modalities, which in some ways may require some extra schoolwork of some sort, but not a horrendous amount. Rachel, what are you getting?
Yeah, I get that right now. It's kind of been this hurry up and wait period. And what's about to happen is it just looks like things are going to kind of explode into just new directions, a lot of energy around you. I get the phone ringing off the hook for some reason. So new things coming in and lots of paper. So I think that's in alignment with the contracts. I do get that there are some new directions. It's almost like there's a snowball effect here for you as well, too, that things that you've put in place over the winter are starting to come to fruition now. And I think as we get into summer, I think your only problem with work is how to balance it all. Okay.
Oh, good. Finally.
And it's also saying, you know, I get like this, the most prosperous time of year for you this particular year is going to be in the summer months, like June to August. And then you have another prosperous period that seems to land right about November, late October, early November, right before the holidays. So this also looks like there's a new gentleman you'll be working with. I don't know if your boss is a man or if you're this is kind of more of a mentor energy, but it's somebody that I like. It's somebody that can teach you a lot. Okay.
Thank you. I've been doing a lot of kind of intern, volunteer. It's all, and then I do my own thing. I contribute so that in turn, you know, it'll start to pay off. And so thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I think that's a good, it's a good plan for you too, is like, you know, to, especially, it's kind of a lesson for all of us that when things are slower, it's sometimes a nice time to give back or donate or something like that, so that it kind of frees up the energy for us to move, for us to receive again. And this is also saying, don't be afraid to take some risks here. Because I do get some riskier things as far as marketing or planning, where you want to go in the future. Just seems like there's a couple things that are like, they're showing me to them like buns in the oven, like something that's, you know, there's a timer set to it that it's not ready to come to fruition yet, but it's stuff that you're putting in place for the future. Yeah. And they seem like there's not a scary aspect to it, but a risky aspect, maybe something that you're not comfortable with or something that you've never done before that you're not sure how it will work, but it's saying, you know, take the leap of faith here. Okay.
Do you see one of my something that I do every Thursday morning? I give of my time, but it's excellent. It goes along with my specialized field, and I'm not paid for it. But yet, there's been a lot of changeover in that location, and one person in particular, I'm trying to manifest some harmonious energy there. It's just been, it's very static, and I'm going in tomorrow and with the idea that it'll be very harmonious. Do you see that happening?
Let's see. I do think that you have the energy and the wherewithal to kind of change what's been happening. I would just check in with your emotions before you go, because I think if this is something that you're kind of pre-paving to be heavy or hard, it will be. Okay, I think there is movement for change. It's just kind of a stuck situation. So this might be something that you look for new ways to kind of freshen it up a bit, fluff it up a bit. Something that you personally can do, you know. Now I know this isn't your show, but like it's something that you can bring to the table that just kind of shifts the energy, at least as far as you're concerned. Okay, because I think it just seems like old stagnant thinking has just created this kind of situation to be just a little bit more difficult than it has to be. Okay, Barbara.
I want to add something. I think that the situation you're walking into is a repeat of a situation you've had in your life before. And, you know, Rachel said check your emotions first before you go into it. I would try to make sure that the situation, you're not reading the situation as if it was the past situation. You're seeing some red flags, and I'm wondering if the red flags truly belong to this situation or if you're just anticipating red flags from a prior situation. Do you know what I mean?
You know, I've been dealing with it for a few years with this one individual, and I bless it, you know, I let it go, I put healing energy on it, and, you know, I go in and I talk to them, and it just, I don't know, it just, I'm going in tomorrow, and I'm, like, debating with myself, do I want to keep, because this individual is not, they're invested in demonstrating a power base that they have in a very toxic way. And so, I try to demonstrate I'm a team player. You know, I've had talks with them, and it's just, it's very depleting.
You know, sometimes there are situations that it's wisest to back away from and not try to confront and solve, because sometimes there isn't a solution. And you might want to consider that. I don't feel you're doing anything wrong here. I think you're doing everything right. But in some ways, your approach to this is a threat. And it might be smarter to back off and just let the dust settle. It doesn't mean they're going to change their behavior, because I don't think they are. But you're driving yourself nuts, and sometimes, you know, things are what they are. Sometimes there just isn't an answer. Sometimes there isn't a reason. Sometimes we just have to move on and trust that people will, you know, they're on their own pathway, and we can't change them. And I feel that that's partially at play here. I don't think, you know, as much as you are assuming the other individual has the same level of insight as you do, and that's not the case.
No, I know that cities don't. No. And I try to have as little to do with that individual as possible in a respectful way, but they set it up. They sabotage some things, so I have to go to them. And then it's in front of people, and there's power play, and it's just horrible. And I go to them afterwards, you know, and I'll, you know, talk to them sometimes to try and get it resolved so that we don't have to have a repeat of this. And I just don't want to give it up. You know, it means so much in my own specialized field. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I've been aware of, you know, exactly what you're saying.
I mean, it's nobody who has a spiritual pathway at all wants to have to say, hey, this is what it is, and I just have to move on. I'm not saying you have to leave the job. I'm just saying you have to let go of trying to solve this.
Yeah. Believe me, I didn't want to solve it. I don't want to be in the line of fire anymore.
No, but, I got that.
I do. I want to thank you both for your help, and I don't want to hold up other callers that might be wanting to connect with you all and to gain insight. And thank you very much.
You're very, very welcome. Bye-bye now.
Okay. Bye.
That's really something I want to take a few minutes to talk about, Rachel. It's, you know, people who are seekers or spiritually oriented or whatever you want to call them often think that every situation can be solved and every problem can be, you know, resolved and you know, it can, in Chris's term, kumbaya, you know, love all around. And there are some situations that can't be solved. And sometimes we have to, you know, it is what it is. It is a toxic situation. Perhaps this person is meant to live this life in that way in order to learn something or whatever. You know, you sometimes, you just don't know all of the ins and outs of every situation because we're not given that all that information. But sometimes it just is what it is, and there is no answer. I mean, have you found that? I mean, maybe
I'm
wrong.
Oh, absolutely. I think I'm on board with that, Barbara. I think especially if you have a spiritual nature and you're working your own path and you have some sensitivity, oftentimes we can see more to the relationship than other people can. And so I think that's where, you know, we think that gives us the license to try to affect it. Because, you know, we can see that there's something bigger at play here, you know, or
mm-hmm.
something that needs to be healed with love or needs to be discussed or needs to be talked out. And, you know, some people just are not at that place. You know, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink, you know. And I think that's where I think a lot of us light workers go wrong, is that because we think we have an awareness, or we see that we have an awareness that we can see a little bit behind the scenes, that we do think we can affect change. And of course we do in many situations, and it is our job to do so in many situations, but that not everything needs to be healed by us or worked on by us.
Well, not only that, but sometimes we try to fix people that aren't broken. And
true.
That's not right either. it's sort of like, you know, oh, you don't think like I do, so there's something wrong with you. No, not necessarily. I mean, everybody's different. Everybody has a different pathway. Everybody's going in a different direction. And while we, you know, are friends with and communicate with people who are sort of aimed the same direction as we are, the reality is everybody's on a spiritual pathway, just in different places on that spiritual pathway. And in order to be where we are today, we have had to had lifetimes when we were not so nice and not so good, and where we had to learn how hurtful and how painful the stuff that we could or would do could be to other people. And sometimes spirits have to come in to learn that or to refresh it or whatever. I mean, it doesn't make them bad. It just makes the lifetime a more difficult one. And sometimes, you know, the challenges are horrendous. But, I mean, you take a look at people, you know, on Facebook. I saw this man that was, you know, he'd lost both arms and both legs. And here he is skydiving and joyful about it. And, wow. And you know, it's all how you perceive things. And you know, if you choose to perceive... I had two people here that earlier today that were in the 70s, 60s and 70s. I knew them, and they were gung-ho spiritual this and gung-ho spiritual that. And they were sitting here today, both of them, very, very intelligent ladies, just absolutely stuck. And, you know, I kind of just looked at them and I said, you had all the knowledge. You were into all of the stuff. What the heck happened? And they just looked at me and said, I don't know. It just, you know, and it was sort of like I said, you had the philosophy. Why didn't you practice it and live it? Instead of just talking it, why didn't you live it? And, you know, they looked at me, and these were two intelligent ladies, and they said, wow. And I thought, oh, my God. it's that simple. But you know, they had to figure it out for themselves or live through, you know, 15 or 20 years of being stuck and tried to figure out why, and why wasn't life fun, and why was life boring, and why was life dull, and I've missed out on all of this stuff. And I said, yeah, I haven't missed anything. You just haven't taken advantage of what's there. And it doesn't cost you money, and you don't have to take classes. It's just, you know, there is joy in life. You just have to find it. But they weren't, you know, I could have pounded on them for 20 years and they wouldn't have come to that realization. And until they realized that they were stuck, there was no way for them to find a change. And sometimes people just don't know they're broken, and sometimes they want to stay broken. And while we may have the perception to be able to identify them, we don't have the level of consciousness to know why they have to be that way this lifetime. And you know, sometimes it's very frustrating. You know, you can not heal everyone. Not everyone can be fixed. It's a choice, and it's their choice, not ours. I mean, I know people that I'm pretty sure are screwed up, but they feel fine. And so, you know, and it's frustrating, I have found, sometimes to see the potential that somebody carries inside of them, and to realize that it may not be this lifetime that they're meant to reach their potential. Sometimes we carry potential that we have no intention of reaching. And no matter how hard you try, no matter how you push, no matter how you preach, no matter how you impose upon friendship to tell your friend, you know, you have so many talents, why aren't you using them? Reality is not meant to. And as individuals, we do not have the right to try to tell somebody what they should be doing with their life. Now, as readers, we do that, but they ask, so that doesn't count.
Yes.
But just because they ask doesn't mean they take the advice. So, and again, it can be frustrating because, you know, you give somebody the easy answer, the logical answer, the answer that, you know, really would make life so much easier for them. And you know in your heart of hearts they're not going to take it. It's like the relationship people. Not all of them, but a lot of them, you tell them, yes, there are people coming into your life. You just have to do the work on yourself that needs to be done, and magic is going to happen. And they keep asking, when is a relationship coming? And you keep saying, when you change yourself, when you turn yourself into the person that you want to draw into your life. That easy, that fast, that simple. But I don't know if they don't hear it or if they don't want to do it or if they're thinking maybe I'll change my mind next time they ask me. How do you feel? Do you get those same kind of questions?
I do, and sometimes, you know, it's so hard to be a reader because you can see that if they do this work, just where they blossom into, what they blossom into, and who they end up being and who they end up attracting after that is so amazing. You know, if they would just, you know, come to terms with the fact that their life is a mess right now, you know, and they need to do some work on themselves. You know, and I have to say, as a person, I've hit those periods too where the last thing I wanted someone to tell me is go work on yourself, because I was lonely. I wanted someone else there. I was, you know, missing someone. I was missing, you know, the person I wanted to be with, you know. Usually given a little time and, you know, I could start to see, wow, you know, this is going to make me more attractive, you know, to myself as well as to someone else to get some of this, you know, my ducks in a row, to get some of these things put to rest and polish up some of these other areas that, you know, I would be more prepared, more ready to really open my heart, you know, and another person.
And sometimes, you know, we look in the mirror and we say to ourselves, I'm perfect. I don't know what the hell she's talking about. She doesn't know what she's saying. And sometimes that's the problem. If you think you're perfect, then you have a lot of work to do. Because if you were perfect, you truly wouldn't be here. So, you know, it's not so much the outside we talk about when we say do some work on you. It's your perception, how you deal with people, how you deal with relationships. And nobody is perfect. Nobody has done it all. And if somebody says, I've done the work and I'm ready for a relationship, the obvious is true. If you were truly ready, you'd have one. You would not be calling and asking, or you would not be coming to a psychic to ask the question. So, you know, especially the relationship stuff, because none of us want to think or believe that we have issues. And every single one of us have issues up the wazoo, and you know, it's true. I mean, we're thrown into all sorts of relationships with people, into groups, and all sorts of stuff like that, because it gives us the opportunity to work on becoming a better person. And so long as you're working on becoming a better person, you're working on making yourself better. If you step back and say, "I'm not broken; they are," you have a problem. And so it's, you know, are you willing to work? Are you willing to change? Are you willing to take a look at how you have responded and how you are, you know, how you are manifesting your energy within a relationship of any sort? And if you're willing to work on it, if you're willing to give it a shot, if you're willing to be open enough to say, I could change, and we all can change, then you stand a very good chance of switching the kind of people you're attracting to yourself. And in doing that, you are becoming a better person. And we can always be better. No matter how saintly we are, we can always be better. We've got Angela here. I can stop. Get off my soapbox for a moment. Hi, Angela. How are you doing today? Hello? Hello, Angela? Hello, 808.
Okay. Can you hear me?
I'll get back. Yeah, now we can.
Sorry about that. My chin pushed the mute button.
Oh, okay. So how can we help today? You're on the air with Barbara and Rachel.
Yes, so I was just wondering if I could get a general reading, if possible.
Sure. You go first, Rachel. I'll just add on.
Okay. All right. Okay. what I see is going on. I want to say it just looks like you've been manifesting a lot or dreaming a lot about where you want to go, what you want to do, okay? And it seems like some of this stuff is starting to come to fruition and then other stuff is starting to just blow up. So for whatever reason, you don't have a clear path from manifesting to creation. And I think there's a lot of, like, old beliefs and fears that are getting in the way of that. You also have this this element of regeneration going on in your life. So it feels like if you've been feeling like you're in a rut or feeling like not so great about a situation that's going on in your life or even about yourself, it feels like you're ready to shed the skin. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It looks like you're right on the cusp of a lot of change for a long time here. And this is, I don't know about Barbara, but this is a common theme that I'm getting amongst all of my clients, that there's been something, especially the last several months to last year, that they've been really working hard on trying to get rid of, trying to change. And it's like this kind of feeling of hurry up and wait. I do, Angela, just feel like you're really ready to just let all this go. I do feel like there's more finances coming in for you, more money. And I do feel like, I feel like you already have love, but I feel like it's, you get to a place where love is much more fun or more, it seems to be more active as we go into summer months for you, where you have some activity around the heart center. Okay, where you're really dreaming and planning about where you want to go and what you want to do as far as relationships go. I also have a sense of kind of getting out of your own way. Okay, this also looks like it has something to do with something like along the lines of addiction, and that doesn't have to be a chemical addiction. It can have very much to do with, and I think this is in your case, patterns of behavior that you're kind of sidestepping, things that you, kind of emotional traps that you've gotten yourself into over and over and over again that you're starting to kind of sidetrack. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it feels like you're, I'm sorry, does this land for you?
Yes, I agree. I can understand.
Okay, yeah, so I want to say you still have a little bit of the internal stuff going on, like you're just getting ready to walk up to the edge of the cliff and take your leap of faith here. And so don't be surprised if, like, you know, you have periods of, like, where you're up to speed with really kicking butt and taking names and taking some risks in your life, and then other you know, like an hour later you can be scared and say, no, I can't do this, I can't do this. So I feel like what's happening for you is you're just shifting between two vibrations. You're ready to take the bull by the horns and really create massive change in your life, and then you get scared and say, no, maybe next month, you know, or maybe
right.
next week or maybe next year or something like that. And then, you know, tomorrow you could be right back on that path of, oh, yes, I'm going for it. You know, I think this will happen back and forth for a little bit more. It feels like June, for some reason, for you is really a time when there's a lot of action, a lot of activity in your life, and you really start really moving forward on a very fast note. Okay?
Good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I totally agree. You have made a commitment to yourself, and I have to tell you, you're not going in circles, you're going in spirals. So even though it feels like you're kind of running around and trying to catch your tail, you're actually moving forward while you're going in circles, so that it is a spiral that you're on. It isn't, and it's an upward spiral. I agree with the summertime assessment that Rachel had. I do see money coming into you, especially in the July time frame. It does feel as though you've been working on more subtle levels on a lot of stuff, so that you're not really seeing the kind of movement forward that you would like to see. Like everybody else, you want immediate gratification, and one of the things that you're working on, like everybody else, is patience. So you get impatient with yourself more than you do with other people. You have less patience with yourself than you do with other people. I feel you a very kind, giving, loving person, and yet when it comes to you, you beat yourself up over the head a lot of times here. I would say that the next year is going to be a year in which, you know, there is massive change. I keep seeing a lotus blooming. And to me, that says you're coming into, you know, flower to a great degree as far as consciousness and understanding of your reality, but also in the manifestation of yourself within your reality. And it feels as though there's a sense here of opening yourself up so that in many ways you're dropping some of the barriers that you have put in place for protection over the last probably decade. And I think that they were appropriate when you put them in place, but in order for you to really garner the richness that you are surrounding yourself with, and it is there, you have to lower them to a certain degree. You don't have to take them all the way down. You know, you are a cautious person. But do understand that you are only going to get back in direct proportion to what you have sent out. So that you have to understand that barriers not only keep things from you, but they keep you from other people. So that again, don't slam them all the way down. That would be dang foolish. But lower them a little. You know, baby steps. Always baby steps. But do understand that the investment of you on an emotional level is something that you are very cautious with, appropriately so. Do not let the red flags of the past influence the future. Make sure that you've put it all to bed before you move into those new venues that you are seeking. And as Rachel said, I do feel that there's a great deal of love around you. I feel that there is love coming to you. I don't know what your relationship situation is now, but it does feel as though the element of a relationship is absolutely something that you need to work on, and being truthful with yourself and with the other people that you are in relationship with. And this goes not only with love relationship, but friendship as well. That being able to be, and I'm not saying you're a liar, please understand here, but often you don't tell people all they need to know in order to be a partner. You basically hope, you know, with you it's a test. Let's see if they know what they should do. And usually, especially in some friendships and in some you know, love relationships as well, the other person is totally clueless. You know, they don't want to disappoint you and they don't want to make you mad for sure, but they haven't got a clue. So, you know, spell it out. And it's okay to ask for what you expect and put on the table what you're willing to share and what you're willing to offer to a relationship. I think you're in a great place. I think it's going to be a spectacular year. You're going to work. You're going to be crazy, and it's going to be fun. You're going to learn a lot about yourself, and you're going to experience a lot of stuff that you have decided that maybe you do want to try it after all.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've done, like 7 years since I've been out and done anything for myself. I kind of am the person that takes care of everybody else and does things for them. I don't have time for myself, and I don't even know how to, like, really enjoy myself anymore, so I'm getting to the point where I'm tired of that. So I've been trying to, I guess, figure it out myself to just get out there and do it regardless.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes it feels as though you think you're going to look foolish, but that's not the case at all. But please stay off dating services. Don't do dating services.
No, I'm with someone for the last 7 years. I've been with the father.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think you're in great shape. Find
so much,
group.
Both of you.
Okay. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Rachel, are you finding a large proportion of people coming to you for readings are going into relationship after a long dry spell?
Yes. It seems like this spring is a new beginning for a lot of people. People who haven't even wanted a relationship for years. You know, women who have been divorced, men who have been divorced for a long time, who just have no desire. You know, they've been focusing on career or family or themselves. Are starting to, and never really, you know, thought that they would want another serious committed relationship again. You know,
yeah.
I'm finding that they're just kind of coming out of the blue, you know, with that. I read an 83-year-old woman the other day who said, you know, I've been widowed twice and I'm done. And she said, all of a sudden, she, you know, she's in a retirement community, and she's got a couple suitors, and she's interested in companionship, and she's got a new relationship coming in for her. And she's like, I never thought that at this age I would want that, let alone be, you know, have the opportunity for it. And so I think it's just a very interesting time for people right now.
Well, you know, and I think older people are a lot younger than they used to be.
Yes.
Absolutely. I think of all of my stories of people that I have read, one of my favorites is three sisters, 94, 96, and 98. And they all came to me at a fair I was at a very long time ago. And they all asked the same question. They all said, do I have romance coming or should I hang it up? And the two younger sisters, I fudged it. I mean, I saw companionship, but I didn't see, you know, heavy romance. And I got to the 98-year-old, and I knew what she was going to ask. And she asked me, and I looked at the cards, and I said, well, damn, yeah, there is somebody coming into your life. And several months later, she brought her boy toy into the fair. He was 80. And and she said, I had to go younger. There weren't any older ones around. So they were so cute. So, yeah, I am finding that people who have said, you know, who would declare that they were done, you know, I'm finished, that's it. That aspect of life I'm not going to touch anymore. And especially it's those people who have declared, I don't want to have anything to do with a relationship. You know, that's almost like, I mean, if you really want a relationship, the best way to go is to insist that you don't, and mean it, to insist that you don't want a relationship, because that seems to be some sort of challenge to the universe. You know, oh yeah, what, you know, we'll show her. And suddenly there are people knocking at the door. I have women clients who are in their 80s and 90s. Who are dating, and
wow.
I, you know, it's phenomenal, and
yes,
and so, you know, girls don't ever think it's too late, because it is never too late, and you know, having love and companionship is something that everybody deserves, and if they want it, they should have it, so that it's a matter of again, you know, lowering those barriers that you've put up to sort of shield yourself and protect yourself and allow it to come into your life. Love is always out there, and it's out there in all different shapes, sizes, and forms, not only people, but just situations, so that, you know, opening yourself to the aspect of love is opening yourself up to a richness within your reality that is beyond description, as far as I'm concerned. But I wanted to ask about, too, companionship, because I'm noticing more and more on my Facebook page especially, I'm seeing all of these Facebook pages that put up pets that have been rescued and pets that need homes. And of course, if I had my druthers, you know, I'd have a huge place here, and all I would do is take all of the rescues that had to be rescued for that day, and I would, you know, give them a good home. I just it breaks my heart to see these animals that have been deserted. And are you finding as well with animals that people are letting go of their animals, their pets, they're sort of, you know, walking away from them? Because I think there are more.
Yes, I am noticing that a little bit more. I know that you know, a lot of people have gone through, you know, in the last couple of years, just some serious financial hardships, and they're almost just, you know, I don't want to say callously letting them go, but sometimes just, you know, now granted, you know, some of them really have no other option, you know, and people are losing, you know, some people are losing their homes and needing to move or moving with other people, and they can't bring them with them. So there's a tremendous amount that are being left behind and left to shelters in hopes that they'll find a good home, you know. So it's just kind of heartbreaking, And I used to do shelter work, which I find that it's very hard for me to do. I can donate now or donate energy or time to fundraising for a shelter, but I have a hard time working with the animals directly, because there'll be an older cat that was, you know, with their owner for, 10 years that had to be given up, and the cat is dying slowly of heartbreak. You know, mm-hmm. It's a very sad situation, Having trouble letting go.
Well, I can't go to Petco anymore. Well, I go for cat food, but I don't go by the cages. You know, the kittens are going to find homes. Kittens find
right.
homes no matter what. But it's the older cats. And you know, my cats are all, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years old. So they're old mm-hmm. cats. There's no
right.
way I can bring an older cat in. I can't bring another cat home. And there is a place though in Connecticut called the Last Post,
mm-hmm.
and for anyone within reach, there are places like this in every state. And the Last Post is a place that it was set up. It's a place that takes care of or will accept pets of people who have died or gone into nursing homes or can no longer care for their pets because they're old. And what they take the animals in and they care for them. They will adopt them out if they're adoptable. Other than that, they can live out their lives in this beautiful facility that has screened in outside runs for them, that has, they sleep in cribs. They are not caged. They absolutely learn to live together, and there are hundreds of cats there. They also have dogs and, a few other animals. And it's a wonderful thing to know that if you're, I'm 70, and when my numbers diminish, with attrition, I will always have cats. But it's lovely to know that I can leave my cats to that place, the Last Post, mm-hmm. and if I am no more and there are cats here, I know that they have a place to go and they'll be cared for and they'll be loved. And I think that that's really important. I think that you should seek things out like that, because, my horror, what upsets me the most is if something happened to me. I have older cats. I would not want them given to a shelter. I would be heartbroken. It would kill me. Of course, I'm already dead anyhow. So, but it would devastate me to think that my pets were put in cages.
Yes.
I just would have a horrible time with that. So, and there are places like that in every country, in every city. So look for them. Your pets do not have to go to shelters. They can go to a place like that. And, it's important that you recognize that that's there, because, oh, my God, if you have, like me, I am very, very, very upset about, my pets possibly having to go to a place where, they would have to sit in a cage and stare out blindly at people walking by. I mean, that would just, I have a hard time with that.
Right.
Now, you have pets,
yeah, I
too.
Do. I do as well, yes. And years ago, I started looking at, my will, my estate, things like that, just because I had been dealing with that, several family members dying unexpectedly and dying young. Mm-hmm. And I realized, wow, I'm not married, and I have my animals, and God forbid, what happens, what if something happened, if I wasn't able to come home, who would come look for
yeah.
them, and who would be there for them? And, I did find a facility, a place that I do a lot of charity work with, called the Guide Dog Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And, and there are other places that are similar to this as well, that, they work on donations, but they also, you can will your animals to them, and they will take care of them and find forever homes for them in case something happens to you. And I just think that's amazing.
That's so great. Oh yeah, no, it's really amazing. Okay, we've got Jennifer here. Hi, Jennifer, how's it going today?
Hi. I'm glad to get to speak to you and meet you.
Well, the feeling is mutual. How can we help?
I wanted to ask you some questions.
Sure.
I've been to Mary Peeler before, and so I've caught your program with her. I've never got to speak with you. So I'm kind of nervous. But my
I don't bite. Neither does Rachel. Don't worry about it.
Honestly, she doesn't. I've never seen her bite.
I scratch, but I don't bite.
I like cats too. I just
Me
wanted
too.
To tell you that. So this is I've got some things on my mind, and
okay.
It involves my husband. Are we? I mean, he's just stuck in the same thing that he does, which is just everyday life. Is he gonna snap out of that, or I mean, is it just gonna be the same old forever?
it doesn't have to be, but it isn't him that has to change. You can't nag somebody into anything, but you can show them a better way by doing it yourself. And if you really desire him to change or become different, it's really you that has to do the changing. You that has to, you know, go out and do different things. You that has to get involved in other aspects of life. In other words, if your life with him isn't exactly what you want, you need to go out there. And I'm not saying, you know, find someone else to do things with as far as another man. I am saying that the more active you get and the more involved you get with friends doing things outside the home, the more he is going to be more likely to be drawn into similar activity. So that you know, if he doesn't want to, for instance, go to a movie, call a friend and go to the movie with your friend. If he doesn't, you know, if him not wanting to do things is making you sit at home and be miserable, the reality is you should get out there and start to do some of the things that you want. And that will, you know, that will more likely than not, that will generate his need to do it as well, because he doesn't want to get left behind. Rachel, what do you think?
Yeah, the knee-jerk reaction, Jennifer, to answer your question was, you know, is he going to stay stuck where he is? I would say yes, you know. Excuse me. So I would think that, you know, Barbara's advice was great, you know, to change it up, do something different, because oftentimes we're wanting the other person to change, and sometimes that is they're just not going to on our time. And, you know, sometimes you can create way more resistance by sitting at home and really just grumbling and getting resentful over the fact that he won't do what you've asked him to do. Or won't change in those ways that you've asked them to. And sometimes when you know, especially in a relationship you've been in for a while, if one partner changes it up a bit, you know, and starts doing something different, you know, the other person will, like Barbara said, not want to be left behind. And I feel like that's probably your best chance of getting some kind of forward movement here with this man, because there is caring there. He's just very stuck, and doesn't really see anything wrong with it. You know, he's not really connecting with what you want. You know, not because he's a cad or anything like that, but because he's comfortable with where he is. So I think if you start throwing yourself into the things that really make your heart sing, and do those things that you really want to do. You might find that he's a little bit more open to kind of coming along. I mean, not at first, but I think down the road he'll start to say, hey, wait a minute, you know, you're going to do this. We always talked about doing that together. Can I come? You know.
Well, what I wanted to do, because I've worked with some of that, but what I want to do, I want to build a house. I want to get some land and have some horses, and he knows this, but it's just, and you nailed him. He's perfectly content. He has no Yeah, whatever. So,
well, you know, find a place that has horses and spend time there. Work with other people's horses. Go riding yourself. Sooner or later, he'll figure out that if he buys the land and gets the horses on the land, you'll stay home.
The other thing, too, Jennifer, is that if you he also needs to connect with why this is going to be good for him, you know, kind of like another way of what Barbara just said, is that if he realizes what he gets out of this, you know, then that will help him come up to speed with where you're at, you know, with your, you know, being ready to move forward and explore and grow and try something new, you know. I don't feel like he's given up on the dream. I just feel like he's just particularly comfortable in what he's doing. You know, so he feels no desire to do anything new next. You know, I almost feel like he feels like he has a necessary rest, like he's hit retirement or something like that, and he should be able to take it easy or something, although I don't think he's that old. But, you know, maybe he's been busy, particularly busy with kids or grandkids or whatever, and I just feel like he's kind of just resting before he kind of moves forward, you know? He's just on slow-mo compared to you.
Well, you guys think nice of him. That's great. It's been awful frustrating for me. And I know I'm the problem. That's how I look at it. I'm the problem. I'm the one that wants to. I'm not content. So, can I ask another?
Sure, go ahead.
I just wanted to ask you another question. So, I'm in the military. Does it look like I'm going to get to go there longer, be in the military longer, or will I be teaching more?
My feeling is that I don't think you're going to be in the military that much longer.
I don't think so either. Though I do get an element of teaching. Is it an either-or thing for you, Jennifer?
Well, I'm in the Guard, and I teach. I'm a teacher in my everyday life, and I'm over. You know, I've gotten to do over 20 in my Air Guard time, and I'd like to continue on. It just seems to be like at a crossroads, and so I just thought I would ask. I wanted to. You know, I'm beginning teaching, even though I'm older, and so I just wanted to find out. I didn't want to wait and see. I wanted to. They can retire me anytime. After you reach 20, they can retire you anytime.
I do feel that you're going to be more involved with teaching than in the Guard.
Yeah, I do too. And they may actually give you an opportunity to go back, but for some reason I'm not sure you take it. You know, I do see like, you know, kind of more involvement down the road, but I'm not sure how or why that comes in or why you would turn it down. It just looks like, you know, something really nice comes in for you and you enjoy the teaching aspect.
Okay. Yes.
Well, thank you for calling.
I thank you guys a tremendous amount. I've wanted to talk for the longest of time, so thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Take care now. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay, we've got Donna. Donna. Hi, Donna. Hi, Donna. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you very much.
How can we help?
You know, I just want to, maybe what you see coming up for me, anything good, anything maybe that I might need. You know, I'd like to leave it open if I can just to see what comes through.
Sure. I'll let you
Thanks.
Go first, Rachel.
Donna, I have to ask, do you run?
Huh?
Do you
run? I don't run. I probably need
to. All right. No, just for some reason, when you first started talking, I saw this image of running, of you jogging. or running or something like that. So I don't know if that was something that you've wanted to do, or, you know, it can also be like I also get the kind of sense of huffing and puffing too. So sometimes spirit doesn't really come in with the, you know, the owner's manual here, and we're not really quite sure exactly why we get certain images. So that could be just a symbol of, you know, that you're really working hard right now and you're moving fast.
Yeah.
Okay. I do get, you know, some things, you know, just some personal work that you've been doing on yourself, but it's more overt right now for whatever reason. You're really working on some things within yourself, but they're making it, whatever you're working on, whatever you're, you know, I think there's some aspect of healing work here too. And it actually goes into actual possible physical therapy, because I'm getting problems with my shoulders and my arms, my neck, something along those lines. So something that you're working on trying to get better. It does look like, it seems like it's big for you right now. And I think there's some indecision as to where you're going in the future. This seems to be about living arrangement, specifically. To stay or go or
exactly. I'm with my boyfriend, and we kind of tend to bicker, so I'm not sure if it'd be better for me to get my own place, or should I try to work it out? I'm not sure yet, so.
I don't feel like your time in this relationship is done yet. So it doesn't seem like you have to get out, you know, cut ties and get out now. You know, this is something that I think, you know, it just feels like, you know, I do feel like you will move. I'm not sure if that means that you have the dissolution of the relationship as well. In fact, I'm not really getting that, like, if you were to move, you know, that you guys would be, you know, would end the relationship. It just looks like, you know, you might need some space, you know.
Yeah.
Living together right now may not be the best option for either one of you, because it seems like just emotions are really high. It seems like he's going through a tremendous amount of change too. So it feels like when I look at him, I get a lot of emotional baggage. So this is probably something from an old relationship or something that he's dealing with, or something, you know, a divorce or kids or something.
Exactly.
Custody battles. It seems like you guys kind of moved in rather quickly, or you know, it's like, you know, you had the need, so you know one of you just said, hey, come on, you know, that it wasn't real well thought out. Not that it was a bad choice, it just, you know, may just be something that, you know, you guys need a little space to work on things, because I do feel like both of you are going through some changes. And how long have you been together?
We've been seeing each other off and on, but we've gone out before. It's been like 10 years, but I started living. It's been about 6 months since I've moved in, but there's two teenagers there that are grown, and that's kind of been an issue. So, I think that's
there's some
problem. Yeah,
it's just
hard, because when I go into, you know, going in there, and then there's two grown adults that, you know, just. Right now, there's a little bit of friction because of that. Not we bicker over that. So So I think we just need space, and I think it'll work itself out.
Yeah, I think so too. And I actually think that there's a possibility of you guys living together again down the road, you know, or at another time period, like discussing that again. It just feels like there's too much of a power play going on with the teenagers in the house, and whether or not he's really being the authority figure that he needs to be.
Exactly.
Okay, so that kind of gives him, you know, like I said, so I think as far as a move out, like that may happen, I want to say, in about 2-3 months for you. It doesn't feel like it has to happen right away, but it might be a really good opportunity to let him really sort some of this stuff out with his children.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I agree.
And it gives you guys kind of a quiet place to kind of start over, you know, in your relationship, you know.
Yes, I agree. Thank you. That's exactly what I've been thinking, and you just confirmed it, but thank you very much.
Okay.
I'm going to agree with Rachel. I also think that there are not two but three adolescents in that house, and that just having one adult there is not a good idea. So absolutely having your own place would probably make things a lot easier for everybody. Okay?
Okay, well, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate your guys' time.
Thank you. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Rachel, so much for another amazing show. I totally appreciate your being here with me. I love sharing time and energy with you.
And
yeah, it's always fun, Barbara.
Thank you, chat room. Well, we got a chance to really actually talk some, which I love. So, you know, I think that being able to sort of talk to another person in the same field and kind of, you know, expand on philosophies is an education for everybody. So, you know, it really is another way of learning and growing in a show that you know, we try to do quick readings and help people in whatever way we can. But sometimes when there is the room and the time, we can kind of go deeper into things. So it's a lot of fun. So thank you so much, and we will look forward to seeing you next month, same time, same station. And the rest of you, I will see you on Sunday night on Curious Times, and then back here on Monday and Wednesday of next week. So thank you for calling. Thank you for coming. Thank you for sharing. And I will talk at you later. Bye-bye now.